before the mirror of thy word I stand, O Lord, in shame. For there I see my sinful self, my proud and foolish frame. Yet in the presence of my God, my seat I shall.
Amen. Thank you, ladies. Let's take the Word of God tonight. We will go to 1 Timothy chapter number 1. And in just a moment, I want to begin with verse number 18. 1 Timothy chapter 1. I'm preparing a series on Sunday morning about what is truly called the Lord's Prayer. And I will be bringing that to you soon. But I want to begin a series on Sunday night. Not sure how long we will take this. And I have talked to you much about prayer. But tonight, I want to begin a series on prayer and things that God is using in my own life about prayer. I don't know that we should ever stop growing in the matter of prayer and stop learning in the matter of prayer. Because prayer is truly the greatest of our ministries. You know, we can say, well, we're doing this and we have this ministry and this ministry. But if we leave prayer out of our life, we really do not have a ministry at all. Because the truth of the matter is, it is the best thing that we can do for God. S.D. Gordon has written a great book on prayer. And in the book, I remember what he said. He said, the great people of the earth today are the people who pray. No, they do not have time to pray. It must be taken from something else. This something else is important. Very important, but still less important than prayer. Do you understand tonight that the greatest privilege that you have as a child of God and that I have as a child of God is to pray? It's the greatest privilege that we have. But you know as much as I know that it is often the one thing that we let slide. It's the one thing that we think, well, I've worked, nothing else seems to help, so I'm just going to pray. It's almost like a last effort. It's almost as if we get to the place of desperation and then we finally pray. Now, there's nothing wrong with getting to the place of desperation because I believe that desperate people pray. But do we really understand how much we need prayer? When we come to 1 Timothy chapter 1, let's begin in verse 18 because I want you to see the entire context of what we are dealing with here. And the Bible says, as Paul is giving this to his son in the faith, Timothy, he says, this charge, verse 18 of chapter 1, I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. Let me stop and say this to you. It is impossible to really understand the effect of prayer without understanding that it's a warfare. Can I tell you where the battle is won or lost? It is in the chamber of prayer. It's a warfare. Brethren, the Christian life is a warfare. Your life is a warfare. My life is a warfare. The devil wants not just to destroy our lives, not to just hinder us. He wants to do work in our church. He wants to continue his work in this world. He is trying to blind the minds of them which believe not. And he will use all kinds of ways to do that. So we must fight in prayer. We do not fight with flesh and blood. I almost wish we could. Because then we could see the devil and we could do warfare. But that's not how we fight. We fight in prayer. Paul said, Timothy, I want you to war a good warfare. Verse 19, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. Brethren, do you understand tonight that the possibility for you and me to make shipwreck is there? And without prayer, we will make shipwreck. We read on here, of whom, verse 20, is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. The ideal is that Hymenaeus and Alexander made shipwreck because they didn't pray. We understand they didn't hold faith and a good conscience, but prayer is a declaration of our dependence on God. Prayer encourages us our faith. But is there any answer? He goes on in chapter 2 and he says this, I exhort therefore. Now, by the way, every time you find the word therefore, why is it therefore? Well, because of what he just told us about Hymenaeus and Alexander. I exhort therefore, chapter 2, verse 1, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher, and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Tonight, I want to begin a series on this title, It All Begins with Prayer. It all begins with prayer. Let's begin tonight in prayer. Father, I come to you, Lord, and as I talk about the matter of prayer, Lord, I know that I do seek you in prayer, but I'm not where I want to be in the matter of prayer. God, help our church, these dear folks that are represented here tonight, to be people who pray. Lord, that we war in prayer, that we understand that without prayer, we cannot be what you have called or saved us to be, and our church will never be. Lord, may we, as children of God, may we live in prayer. Help us, we pray tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen. It all begins with prayer. Paul told Timothy, I exhort, therefore, that first of all. He said, Timothy, first of all, you've got to pray. Timothy, let me explain to you that the dynamics of prayer is that you need to war a good warfare. By the way, have you ever wondered before, why is it so tough sometimes in the Christian life? And why am I having these struggles? Because, brethren, it is a warfare. And the way that we deal with the devil and we deal with the world and the flesh is through prayer. In fact, you cannot take away the idea of warring from praying. All throughout the Bible, there's a theme that runs through the Bible that when men and women did conflict, there was prayer. So the great way for us to war is to war on our knees in prayer. Parents, you ought to pray for your children. War before God in prayer for your children. Can I tell you, husbands, we ought to pray for our wives because there's someone that wants to destroy your marriage. There's someone that wants to hinder your marriage because a marriage is a beautiful type of the Lord Jesus Christ and His church. So there is something that is going against our marriage. There is something going against our children. There is something going against our church. And the way that we fight is in prayer. And that is our greatest privilege tonight. By the way, do you know this? And I pray you do not misunderstand the statement that I'm going to make. Praying makes it possible for God to do what otherwise He could not do. Now you say, well, wait a minute, preacher. God is the God of the impossible. Yes, that is true. But God has chosen to do His work in this world through men and women who pray. That's how God does His work. In fact, the Bible says, ye have not because you ask not. And the Bible says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Now in this series, we're going to talk about hindrances to prayer. We're going to talk about waiting on God in prayer. But prayer is the key. So often, we are not winning the war because we're not praying. And by the way, we understand that the war has already been won by Jesus Christ. But we are praying from the victory. We are praying for God's work to be done. And we are praying for God to do what only God can do. Now, prayer must have two parts. It must have a God to give and a man to receive. God is willing to give. But there must be men and women who choose the matter of prayer. By the way, man's willingness is God's channel to the earth. By the way, okay, God could have chosen angels to preach and give His message, but He did not do that. He chose men. God could have chosen different messengers to give the message of salvation, but He chose us. Do you understand tonight that it is man's willingness is God's channel to the earth? That is how God does His work in this world. It is men and women who willingly submit to God and they choose God's way. In fact, everything that God does for man and through man, He does with man's consent. We have a free will tonight. You know what that means? That means God will not violate your free will. You can choose, in the matter of salvation, to reject Jesus Christ, or you can choose to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. But God has given us a free will. But as a child of God, you can choose to follow Christ, or you can choose to go your own way. You see, God is waiting for man's consent. In fact, Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 20 talks about, he said, "Behold, I stand at the door," and what did he say? "And knock. If any man will come unto me and will open the door," and by the way, that's the indication that God is waiting on man to respond. But remember this, God is always, he always takes the initiative. He is always doing the knocking. And by the way, when we are praying to God and we feel moved to pray, it's because God has already worked in our heart to pray. How many would admit tonight that there's been times when God has impressed upon you to pray for someone or to pray for something specific? Would you lift your hand and hold it up high? Well, let me tell you something. That didn't begin with you. It began with God. God put that in your heart. God begins the work of prayer in our life. And God wants to bless us and bless our church, but it is through man's willingness to yield and to pray. I believe the greatest agency put into man's hands is this agency of prayer. In fact, do you know that prayer from God's side is communication between himself and his allies in the enemy's country. In fact, do you understand something? We are in a warfare, and it is so important that we have a direct line to the commander-in-chief. If we are not in communication with God, we're not going to be successful in the fight. May God teach us to pray tonight. In fact, prayer is not persuading God. It's not winning God over to our side. Prayer, as someone once said, is not getting man's will done in heaven, but getting God's will done on earth. In fact, when I preached on the model prayer, we talked about that we are to pray that His will that's always done in heaven would be done here on earth. We are to pray that. And that is a part of our praying. In fact, brethren, we are not trying to twist the hand of God. Have you ever seen a child before that goes to their parent and they ask and they ask and they ask, and finally the parent says, "Okay, yes, I will give you that." That is not the picture of our God. That is not how God works in our lives. It is not persuading God. In fact, brethren, I want you to remember something. God is far more eager for what we are rightly eager for than what we could ever be eager for in our life. God wants more for you than you could ever want for yourself. And if there is something good in your life that God knows that you need, He is far more ready to give you that than you could ever be ready for it. Let's understand that is our God. In fact, whatever heart yearning tonight there may be that moves you to prayer is always from God. So tonight, I want us to think about this matter of prayer. It all begins with prayer. Brethren, tonight, the place that prayer holds in your life is the place that God holds. So if prayer does not hold a good place, meaning prayer is not important. And by the way, I think all of us know what is important to some people. For instance, let's just take something very simple, all right? For some people, there are things that they will never miss, okay? Let's take the Ohio State Buckeyes, all right? Let's take that. Some people will never miss a football game because it's important to them. There is nothing wrong with that, especially when we're winning, all right? But anyway, there's nothing wrong with that, but they have placed a priority on that. It's so important. For other people who live in Ohio, they have no idea who even won yesterday, you know? It's just not a priority to them. For instance, let's take, hunting season, all right? I love it. I think it's great. But for some people, they know the very day when hunting season begins. They know the day when gun season opens. They know it all. I mean, they have it all down, and they're ready because it's a priority in their life. Nothing wrong with it. But let me ask you about prayer. Is that a priority? Or has it become something that we say, well, and I'm just going to pray while I'm driving to work? You know, my prayer life is, well, you know, if I have time, I will pray. Folks, let me tell you something. Prayer should never be something, if we have time, it should be, we must pray. So tonight, what is real praying? It all begins with prayer. Number one, tonight, I want to give you something very simple that I pray that can help us. Number one, God wants us to pray continually. We are to pray continually. Now, you don't have to turn there because I want you to stay in 1 Timothy. But in Ephesians chapter 6 is the chapter about taking on our spiritual armor for the warfare. And do you understand that we are to take, the Bible tells us in Ephesians 6, verse 13, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And it gives us all those pieces of equipment that we are to put on. The helmet of salvation, we're to take the sword of the Spirit. But then it goes on in verse 18 and says this, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. It ends that spiritual warfare equipment with saying this, praying always. And brethren, tonight, if we are going to pray as God wants us to pray, we must pray continually. Now, this does not mean that we are to be always saying prayers. It doesn't mean that we are to, in a sense, we're just repeating things. No, the Bible tells us that we are not heard for our much speaking. We are not heard just because we say a lot of things to God. God knows what's in our heart, and He knows the true desire of our praying. In fact, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10 says, night and day praying exceedingly, that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. What does it mean to pray continually, to be praying always? It means to live in the very atmosphere or attitude of prayer. It means that throughout the day that we are talking to our God. By the way, do you know you can talk to the Lord in your heart without even moving your lips? There have been many times I'm standing behind this pulpit and I'm struggling to preach. That's very possible for a preacher. And by the way, do you know when I preach, there's a war that goes on. That's why it is so important for people to pray for the preacher and to pray for the preaching of His Word, because there is a warfare that goes on. And at times I'm struggling, and in my heart I would say, Lord, help me. Lord, enable me. Give me the words to say. Give me strength in this moment. And you could be at work and there is something going on and you need God's help. And in that moment you're praying in your heart. You're praying in your spirit. But throughout the day, we are praying always. We're living in the very atmosphere of prayer. For instance, I am thankful that my wife and I'm thankful for her. I love her and so grateful for our marriage. And not just our marriage, but our friendship. The best friend I have in this world is my wife. But can I tell you something? I love talking with her. And, you know, would it not be sad if in the morning when I saw her, I said, honey, I will talk to you after I get off work today, all right? And when I get off work, we're going to talk. No, you know what she wants? She wants me to talk to her in the morning. Honey, how you doing? Do you sleep well? And talk to her and share things with her. And she might call me in the day and, you know, and say something that is on her heart or something to pray for. I might call her. Can I tell you, we're kind of living throughout the day in the very atmosphere of communication. And when I get home, I don't have to introduce myself. Honey, I'm your husband, all right? And now I'm ready to talk. No, because we are talking continuously. And for instance, we understand and we live in a day in technology where people kind of text throughout the day. You're carrying a conversation throughout the day. And brethren, God wants us to live with that God consciousness. That throughout the day, and maybe you're getting ready at a gas station to witness to someone, and you say, Lord, help me now. Give me boldness to witness. God, help so-and-so. Lord, you just brought him to my heart and mind. This morning I had a pastor, and it's Pastor Gray, Ryan Gray, who has preached here before in Alaska. And this morning he sent me a text. And he said, God put you on my heart, and I'm praying for you today. Man, that meant something to me. And brethren, I believe that as we live in the atmosphere of prayer, God will impress upon us what to pray for. In fact, the Spirit of God leads us in our praying, but we are to pray continuously. That's how we are to pray. In fact, God wants us to have a line that's always open to Him. And we can speak to Him in prayer. In fact, do you know something? When a Christian is in conflict with the devil, I believe the devil would love to break that communication off with our Heavenly Father. Because guess what? You can imagine with a group of soldiers that were maybe in enemy territory and they lost communication with the commander-in-chief. They lost communication with the headquarters. They are in trouble. And brethren, if we are not in communication with our Heavenly Father, we are in trouble. We are to pray continuously. Number two, we are to pray completely. Now you say, now wait a minute, preacher. What does it mean to pray completely? Well, the Bible is very clear. Let's go back to 1 Timothy chapter 2 now. And I want you to see what the Bible gives us. It gives us, in a sense, the ingredients of true praying. Now, how many is already thinking about stuff that you're going to make for Thanksgiving? Would you lift your hand and hold it up high? All right, if you're not, you need to start thinking now, okay? And that came from your husband. No, I'm joking, all right? You know, my wife has already talked about things she's going to make because we'll have our kids home and it's going to be a special time. And you know what she's doing? She's not just thinking about it. She's buying ingredients. That's a good thing, all right? Those ingredients help to make something complete. For instance, all right? Now, I don't know how to make anything. I'm just going to tell you that right now, all right? If someone had me to go get a dessert, I'm going somewhere and buying it, all right? Something that someone else has made, you know? But let's just take, if someone were to make chocolate chip cookies, you know, that takes ingredients. There's flour, there's sugar, there's, chocolate pieces. There's all kinds of things that are involved with making something that is sweet and something wonderful and something that has no calories. I'm joking, all right? But something that is pleasant to you and me. Well, brethren, prayer, there is the proper ingredients to true praying, and the Bible gives it to us. 1 Timothy chapter 2, let's look what it says once again in verse number 1. I exhort, therefore, God exhorts us to pray, that first of all, look what it says, supplications, that's the first ingredient, prayers, that's the second, intercessions, that's the third, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Brethren, there is not true praying without these four ingredients. So we are to pray completely. So quickly, I want to give you this list. Number one, the Bible gives us the word supplications. Now, what is that? This means voicing a particular request to God. This is, God, I need whatever it may be. In fact, this is a definite request. And by the way, I believe if we want specific answers to prayer, we ought to pray specifically. You know, it's sometimes, I think we misunderstand prayer. And we might say, Lord, bless all the people in church. Well, that's good, but let's get specific. Let's pray specifically for people with specific needs. As I'm reading through my prayer list of everybody in our church, I pray for a certain amount of people every single day so that every week I'm praying through all the names of people in our church. I pray for you by name, but I will stop and say, and Lord, I pray that you would bless so-and-so. And I know maybe a need, maybe it's a health need. Brother Dick Bowsher was here this morning and he has cancer bad. He's struggling with his health. I appreciate his spirit. He's just a blessing. He doesn't complain. He's just an encouragement. But I pray specifically that God will give him grace. I pray for his wife as she is dealing with this in their life. Brethren, God wants us to bring specific requests before Him. In fact, do you know that a man's whole life is utterly dependent upon God? Everything we need comes from God. So we ought to have supplications. Do you need grace? Then I'm going to tell you something. God has unlimited grace. Do you need strength? Then God has strength that nobody else can ever give you. Do you have financial need? Then pray specifically to God for that financial need. You know, I will say this to you. God knows our need before we ask Him, but He has asked us to ask Him. Supplications. But the second is this word prayers. Now that might be a little confusing. We say, well, preacher, prayer is prayers. Well, the word here is simple conversation with God. Can I tell you what it is? It's communion. It's fellowship. We have three children. I thank God for each one of them, and they're all different. How many parents would agree that all your children are different in so many ways? Would you raise your hand? They are, aren't they? It's wonderful how God has created them. They're unique creatures in Christ. But you know something? What if... Now, I want my children to ask, and they do ask. I'm glad that they feel free to ask. I am thankful for that. But can I simply tell you this? If that was the only type of fellowship that we had, that would be a poor relationship, would it not? If all my children, every time I seen them, if they asked me for something, I'm their parent, I'm their father, I love them, and I want to help them. But if that's all there is, then can I tell you something? That's not a good relationship. What if every time I saw you, I asked you to do something? You know what you say? I don't want to see preacher today, all right? You might say, preacher's coming, I'm going the other way. Because he's asking me for something else, you know? No, it should be that we just have communion. Hey, how you doing? How's your week? How's your job? How's, you know, did you get a deer this year, all right? And, you know, Gracie's got one. I understand that, all right? And that's not fair. But anyway, all right? But, you know, it just communion. Like tonight, I asked Gracie. I said, Gracie, I want to see a picture of this thing, all right? I know she had a rope tied around his neck. Someone did that for her. I'm joking, all right? But I said, let me see it, you know? I want to see it. And congratulations to you. Can I tell you what that is? That's just fellowship. And God wants us in our prayer time and throughout the day. And by the way, we must in our minds not think of prayer just as, okay, I'm praying in the morning or I'm praying in the evening. No, we are to live in fellowship with God throughout the day. Talking to God, what is on your heart, like He is your best friend, because He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. To share with Him your burdens, to share with Him your sorrow, to share with Him the joy. You know, I mean, listen, we ought to thank God. Lord, thank you for the sun today. Boy, it's beautiful. Lord, look at that. That's great what you've done. Lord, I thank you for that. That's great. That's fellowship. That is a part of praying. It's not just supplications. It's not just saying, God, do this and give me this and God, I need this. No, it is communion with God. Brethren, there's something very wonderful about communion. I love fellowship with people. I don't like it when there is a hindrance of fellowship. I want there to be communion. Last night, my son, Caleb, was at work, and he works at Lowe's in Indiana where he's at college, and on his lunch break, and I was in my office at home studying and preparing for today, and he called me, and he wanted to talk to me while he was eating his lunch, you know, because he's by himself, and he went down to Dairy Queen, got a good hamburger, right? And he's sitting in the parking lot. He's got an hour break, and he calls me. Now, look, he didn't ask me for anything. He didn't ask me to do anything. You know what he wanted to do? He just wanted to talk to me. He asked me, Dad, do you think Tennessee's going to win? No, son, I don't think they're going to win. And they didn't win, you know? And, Dad, what do you think about next week, Indiana? I said, I don't know, son. We need to pray, you know? And then talking about the Empowered Youth Conference that he had a part of where our teenagers went to, and talked about this and talked about that, and just communion, fellowship. We didn't have some kind of agenda. Okay, son, let's talk about this now. No, there's just fellowship. There is communion. That is a part of our praying. It is not just asking, but it is abiding in Christ. The third part of our praying is not just supplications, prayers, but intercession. That is, in my opinion, the highest level of praying, is where I'm praying to God on your behalf. That is praying for a friend. Men, praying for your wife. Wives, praying for your husbands. Parents, praying for your children. Church, praying for your pastor. Can I just tell you something? I need your prayers. I cannot be the pastor God wants me to be without the prayers of the people. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said this. Someone asked him, what is the secret of what God is doing in here? And he said this, my people pray for me. That's what he said. I believe it. Because they sought God for their pastor. And brethren, it should be that we are praying for one another. In fact, do you know something? To grow in grace is not just to be concerned about ourselves, but to be concerned about others. In fact, if you're having a hard time with someone, I'm going to tell you something. Go to God on their behalf. Pray for them. In fact, Job chapter 42, verse 10, the Bible says, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Now, by the way, it seems like friends is a stretch, does it not? Those were the good friends that, you know, told Job wherever he was wrong in his life. I mean, you know, they were what he called miserable comforters. And you know what Job did? God says that he turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friend. There is nothing more loving that you could do for an individual than to pray for them. But fourthly, this last ingredient of prayer, and here we come upon Thanksgiving season, giving of thanks. You know what? Real praying is that we thank the Lord. We praise God. We in a sense, brag on Him. You know what? When I'm in fellowship with my wife, I will brag on her, to her. I will say, honey, you're so beautiful. And I mean it. And, you know, I don't like it. It's getting worse. I will tell you this. It's getting worse that when we go out somewhere, they think that I'm like the dad and she's my daughter, you know. This is getting bad, you know. I mean, it's really good. One day I was eating out with her and my daughter, and they thought that I was the dad to both of them, you know. I'm like, ma'am, this is my wife and my daughter, and you're not getting a tip today, all right? No, I'm joking, all right? No, it was at a restaurant, and I was like, this is bad, you know. But you know what? When I'm having good fellowship with my wife, there may be times that I say, honey, can you do this for me? That's a part of a friendship. But there's times when we just talk about just things to talk about, because we have fellowship together. But then giving of thanks, honey, thank you. Today when she fixed our meal, honey, thank you for the meal. Thank you for that. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for loving our children. Thank you for walking with the Lord. You know, God wants us, if we're going to have real praying, is to give Him thanks, to give Him praise, to glorify Him. Thanksgiving is all unto God. And may God help us. That is to pray completely. And thirdly and lastly tonight, not only are we to pray continually and pray completely, but pray carefully. You say, what does this mean? Well, back at Ephesians, would you turn to Ephesians chapter 6 in closing tonight? And I want you to see this, because we must understand what prayer is about. Brethren, I am no expert on the matter of prayer. I am on the journey of prayer. And I am learning about prayer more and more. By the way, think about praying. Praying, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but have you ever come to the place where you don't know what to pray for? I have. And I've even told the Lord, Lord, I pray for my son Joshua's here tonight. I pray for my son Joshua. But Lord, I don't know really what he needs, spiritually speaking. And I will come before God. But can I tell you, praying carefully is knowing the mind of God about what we are praying for. Now, this is what Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 18, look what it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the, what's the next word? Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Praying in the Spirit. Now that's not spooky, but it means that we are praying in accordance to the will of God. Folks, do you know that the Bible tells us that if we pray in His name, and that means according to His will, that prayer will be answered. We've all had prayers that we're like, Lord, why didn't you answer my prayer? And I'm going to talk about that in the weeks to come. But when we pray in the Spirit, that is praying carefully. Now, you know what that means? Brethren, we understand that no unsaved person can pray in the Spirit because the Spirit of God does not indwell them. But there are Christians who are in such a carnal condition in their heart and soul that it's impossible for them to pray in the Spirit because they're not walking in the Spirit. Brethren, if you are not right, men, with your wife, do you know what the Bible tells you? You cannot pray. Well, you can try to pray, but you're not going to get your prayers answered because you're not right with your spouse. Ladies, if you're not right with your husband, I'm sorry, but you will not get your prayers answered. Children, if you're not right with mom and dad, I'm sorry, but that is hindering your prayer life. Because to pray in the Spirit means that I am right with God. I'm in fellowship with God as best I know how. And that I am seeking to know the mind of God about the matter. Sometimes we think, well, Lord, this is my will. No, true praying is not my will, but thine be done. Hey, there's things right now in my life that I would not choose, but I have come to say, God, not my will. Lord, that's not what I would have chosen, but not my will, thine be done. That is praying according to God's will. It is praying in the Spirit. But tonight, if I'm regarding, what's the Bible saying in Psalm 66:18? If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So tonight, if I in my heart am not in fellowship with God, I'm not going to know what to pray for, and I'm not going to pray according to the Spirit. And by the way, I believe God wants to impress upon our heart what to pray for, how to pray, what to pray for loved ones, for our family, for our church, for our pastor. I need your praying. In fact, Jude verse 20 says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." That's praying. And tonight, we are going to have a time to where we pray together. But tonight, we need to pray in the Spirit. And you know what that means? That means that our hearts are right with God and right with one another. And when we pray in the Spirit, we want God to be glorified. It's not that we want our will to be done. We don't want the glory. We want Jesus to be lifted up and for Him to be glorified. Some people, they harbor things in their heart against one another. They harbor unconfessed sin in their heart. And I'm sorry, but they cannot pray in the Spirit. Brethren, tonight, we ought to pray in such a way as to where we're allowing the Holy Spirit to guide and to direct us in our praying. Tonight, it all begins in prayer. You know, it's fitting that we open a service in prayer because it begins in prayer. It's fitting that before we do any task for God that we ought to begin in prayer. But the Christian life, can I tell you, it begins in prayer. The winning that is done in our life is in prayer. May God help us to pray. Let's bow our heads. Our Father in heaven,